If you would stand out of respect for God's holy word and turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 46. We're going to be looking at verses 3 and 4. Isaiah 46, 3 and 4 on this Sanctity of Life Sunday. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, you who have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I will be the same. And even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The title of the message today is taken from a phrase in that first verse there. Born from before you were born. And notice the two different words, born, meaning different things. Carried and being born as in giving birth. Born from before you were born. That's the message of our text. And we're going to look at two different parts of this. Number one, are you carrying your gods? Or number two, is God carrying you? Are you carrying your gods or is God carrying you? As we look back here at the first couple verses of this chapter, verses 1 and 2, we see that there's a couple foreign gods mentioned here, Bel and Nebo. And in the context here of these verses we're looking at, it explains that these foreign gods, the Babylonian gods, Bel and Nebo, now Bel is an honorary title. Bel is a word that means master or something to that effect. And it's a way of referring to the chief Babylonian god, Marduk. And so this title, master, and then Nebo, he was, I think, the god of like the scribes and intellectuals. But they were gods that they represented by images, by idols, as you heard about in our children's message with these statues we were talking about that I made when I was a kid, or at least painted them. And they had these images of Bel and Nebo. But look at this picture. Their images are consigned to the beasts and the cattle. The things that you carry are burdensome, a load for the weary beast. They stooped over, they have bowed down together. They could not rescue the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. This is an interesting picture that God is painting here of these so-called gods are now strapped to cattle, to beasts, and they're being carried around. That's not really maybe the picture that the Babylonians wanted to see of their gods, that they were just some burden strapped to a beast being carried. These supposed gods couldn't carry anybody, and they were now being carried by simple beasts. And they were supposed to be the ones that would save the Babylonians and give them victory. You see, in those days, with all these warring nations, and they each had their own god that they worshipped, when a nation won, they gave credit to their god. My God won this battle. And the Babylonians, when they took God's people into captivity, they sure thought that their gods had won. So we see throughout Scripture, people taunting. We think of Goliath taunting the Israelites and making fun of the Israelites' God and saying his God was going to come in and have victory and would win the day. But now the picture is that these gods of the Babylonians are not only strapped to beasts, but they are being carried off into captivity. You see, these supposed gods had lost. Later on in verses 6 and following, it describes some more about what they did with these idols. It says, those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh silver on the scale hire a goldsmith, and he makes it into a god. They bow down, and they worship it. They lift it up on the shoulder and carry it. They set it in its place, and it stands there. It does not move from its place. Though one may cry to it, it cannot answer. It cannot deliver him from his distress. So these people would take their coins, their gold, their valuable metals, and they would hire a goldsmith and have an idol fashioned. And they would pray to this idol. And they thought that this idol was going to be their hope, their deliverance, their protector. And they would offer things to it. But then look at, God is actually mocking this. This is a taunt. God is trying to show the foolishness of this. He's debunking this when he says that they bow down and worship this thing that they had created. That's ironic enough as it is. But this thing that they worship, the people who made it have to carry it around. And the thing doesn't do anything. They just set it on a stand or on a table somewhere, and it doesn't move. It doesn't do anything for them. And they pray to it, they talk to it, and it doesn't answer back. It can't come and help them in any way. How foolish. And we maybe have a hard time understanding this. You know, we just think of maybe these kind of idols in some restaurant, or maybe we would see them in some store or in someone's house. And this isn't a part of many of our worship practices, our family worship that we've seen. And this maybe doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. But on this Sanctity of Life Sunday, I think that it's good for us to not only consider what our idols might be, because I want to tell you that we still struggle with idolatry, but to even think about what our idolatry might be in regards to the lives of other people. You see, in our country, we have been struggling with idolatry, maybe not with statues that we bow down and worship or craft out of gold and silver. But we've been worshiping the idol of self, or how could we say this? Our own selfish desires, our own laziness, our own greed. Think about this. With this plague of abortion on our country, and we're talking about with women saying, this is my body, I'm going to do what I want with my body. Think about the idolatry in that. That I'm going to kill this unborn child just so that I don't get a mom bod. I don't lose my nice figure. Or I don't have to take care of somebody else. I'm not ready for the commitment. I'm not ready for the extra bills. I don't want to change poopy diapers. We see commercials promoting this kind of thing, even looking down on mothers and children, saying, I'd rather live the fast life. I'd rather have more cash flow. I'd rather not pay for college. I'd rather have a cushy retirement and live on my own schedule instead of taking care of someone else. These are our idols. And we worship them, and yet they offer us nothing. But they, in fact, take away from others. They bring nothing but death and destruction. They cannot help you or give you hope or joy or peace. And living for these things, thinking that they will make you happy in your life, will end in nothing but sadness. As you watch all of the things eventually taken away from you, no matter how much you might try to grab and hold on to things in this life. In the end, you're not going to take all these things with you anyway, and you're going to realize that you were worshiping a false god that brought you no hope, and in the end can give you no hope of life and salvation. So are you carrying your gods? Are you holding on to these selfish desires in your life? Even willing to hurt other people just to get your pleasure or ease of life? Or is God carrying you? Look at these beautiful verses here, 3 and 4, that we read to begin with. That you have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb. You know, this last Friday, I got to go with my wife and go down to the hospital and have a checkup, and we were going to hear the baby's heartbeat. And we were excited to do that. And little did we know, they had just upgraded their equipment, and they said, well, you know, to check the heartbeat, we're going to do an ultrasound, and so you're going to actually get to see the baby. And we're only 12 weeks along here, and didn't think we could even do that with any kind of clarity or anything. But we got to see a picture of our little child and got to see its profile and its little nose, and there was no doubt that this was a little human being in there. And I just about leapt out of my chair when I saw that, because it was just shocking, startling. Even me, who believes in life at the point of conception, it when you get to see that this is not a mass of cells, but this is a living person, it's shocking, it's eye-opening. God talks about caring for us as people, individuals, human beings, when we're in our mother's womb. Not just a mass of cells, but a person. And God cares for us there. I got to tell you, when that baby waved at us, like waved its little hand and we could see its fingers, oh, the joy that it brought to my heart. And God loves the little children. He carries us even from that point. He loves us. Each life is precious. But He is the one carrying us. He has borne us from birth, born from before we were born, carried from the womb. But listen to this, and it says, even to your old age I will be the same, and even to your graying years I will bear you. God takes care of us. I heard this phrase, from womb to tomb. Isn't that amazing? God loves us from womb to tomb. He cares for you from that first moment of conception. Scripture talks about Him weaving us together. But He cares for us until our dying breath. Each life is precious. And these idols of abortion and euthanasia and assisted suicide and these other things that we think make our life better somehow, attack this message that God loves every person and that He wants to care for you from beginning to end. Listen to this kind of care, and who is providing it? Is it Bel and Nebo or any other god or any other person that is doing this? Listen, He says, even to your old age, I will be with you, or I will be the same. And even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. God is the one caring for you. And He can do it. Unlike these other gods, He is the living God, and He has the strength to carry you. And there's even this sense in all of this that you're difficult to carry. You're a heavy load. And throughout Scripture, God talks about the patience He's had to have with us. What difficult people we have been to Him. And He has had to have mercy and hold off His wrath to put up with our rebelliousness and our unbelieving attitudes. But God has been patient with us, and He has carried us. Dennis DeMauro shares this story, and he says it this way. I'd like to invite you to visit a small chapel with me. Our destination is Fort Wadsworth, New York, on Staten Island. It's an army post. Fort Wadsworth's post chapel is named for a Medal of Honor recipient, Father Vincent Capodanno, who was a Navy chaplain attached to a Marine infantry unit in Vietnam. Known as the Grunt Padre, Father Capodanno accompanied his regiment on its combat operations, often risking his life for his men. During one such mission, Capodanno ran 75 yards through heavy fire to reach a fallen Marine and carry him to safety. During these battles, he would often run to the wounded, saying quick prayers and offering words of consolation. Although he said Mass at least once a day for the troops, it was not just the words he spoke in his sermons, but it was even more so his very presence that drew men to him and to Christ. On the morning of September 4th, 1967, he volunteered to go out with Marine units fighting in the Quezon Valley. Immediately upon arriving, his unit was attacked by a force of nearly 2,000 North Vietnamese. Capodanno jumped into action, bringing in wounded men and giving last rites to the dying. Even though he was hit twice, once in the face and once in the right hand, he continued to look for the wounded. Can you imagine this picture? Him shot in the face and in the hand, telling them, "Have faith in Jesus. Jesus is the truth and the life." He reassured an injured young man that God is with us all this day, and he blessed him with his still intact left hand. Attending to another wounded Marine, Capodanno shielded the man with his body, but sadly, this was his last earthly effort. He died after being shot about 50 times under withering machine gun fire. The narthex of the chapel at Fort Wadsworth hosts a little makeshift museum about Capodanno's life. One of the island's major thoroughfares bears his name, as does a naval ship. An effort is underway in the Catholic Church to have him canonized as a saint. Father Capodanno embodied his love for God and his service for others. He reflected that love in his willingness to carry fallen comrades to safety, even in the most dangerous circumstances, the kind of selfless love that would ultimately cost him his life. You know, there's another who has carried something at great cost to himself. And I invite you to flip with me in your Bibles a few chapters later in the book of Isaiah to chapter 53. And this is the story of the suffering servant that God would send for the sake of the people. And listen to these words and how they tie into our text today. "Surely our griefs he himself bore." This is verse 4. "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried." This is describing Jesus, the suffering servant, as he went to the cross, carrying your griefs and your sorrows, your sins. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed." You notice that it's coming down on him because he was carrying it. "He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed." I want to tell you all that not only were you created by God, and not only are you cared for and loved and cherished by God, from the moment of conception when he created you, all the way through your birth, till you have gray hairs and you breathe your last breath, God cares for you. But even more, he came down to earth, put on flesh, to suffer in your place, to carry your griefs and your sorrows, and to die with them, that you might be healed from all of them. And I want to tell you, too, as we think about all of this, and we think about maybe the ways that we have sinned against God in serving ourselves and looking for our own pleasure and ease of life or whatever, and even being willing to hurt other people or encourage others to do it, by being a part of an abortion or being a part of euthanasia or assisted suicide or any other thing like that that would devalue life, I want to tell you that even those things, even those sins that you've committed, Jesus carried. I want to tell you, if you've been a part of that and you are struggling with guilt and shame, God in the flesh, Jesus, has carried those griefs and those sorrows. He bore them for you out of his great love that you might be healed. And the shed blood of Christ, those wounds that he took for you, can bring true healing to you. There's hope for all of you. Remember this, that God values you, and he values each and every life, big or small, sick or healthy, strong or weak, beautiful or ugly. God values every life, and he carries you. And he has carried your sorrows and griefs and sins to the cross that you might be healed. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I can't thank you enough for what you have done for me and for each and every one here. Father, we thank you that you care for each and every little child, even the smallest child who doesn't make it even to full term. You care, and you are carrying them. Lord, we confess that we have devalued human life in one way or another, maybe even to the point of participating in taking a life. And we confess, Lord, to you that that is sin, and we are so sorry. And we look to Jesus, and we claim this work that he has accomplished for us. We recognize that you have told us that he has carried those griefs and sorrows and sins to the cross and paid for them for us. And we ask in the name of Jesus that you would heal us, knowing that you will, because you promised to do so. Grant peace to us all in Jesus. Amen.